economist. He's a director of the White House National Trade Council, and he's working hand in glove with Wilbur Ross and Stephen Vaughn and others about how we move forward on NAFTA and all these other thorny trade issues. And he joins us now. Peter Navarro, great to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Laura. Had to check off the 100 days to talk with you before they elapsed here.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, you know, don't be such a stranger, Peter. Like, we knew you when you were just, like, writing articles, okay? So I'm just teasing you. So, Peter, let's talk.
My motto is to just get stuff done, and that's what we're trying to do.
Right. I get it. But messaging is important. Communications is important.
We've had a good 100 days.
All right.
I let the messaging and communication to other folks most of the time.
But you're the one who knows the facts. So let's get down to brass tacks here. I think the press has been horribly unfair in judging, of course, what's been accomplished in the first 100 days. We've gone through all the executive successes, moves on trade, what we've seen with the Keystone Pipeline. There's so many things that have been done. Obviously, Neil Gorsuch. A move on education yesterday. Let's focus for a moment on what needs to happen for this NAFTA renegotiation. I personally have no problem with the United States renegotiating this deal. Whether you call it NAFTA or call it something else, we are going to do trade with Mexico and Canada. And to me, it makes sense, I think, to put that deal together with all three countries since we're all on the same continent together. I don't have a problem. We're all in North America, and we could come up with a good trade deal. Do you have a sense of how this moves forward? I'm sure you do in Congress, because we know Luis Videgaray, the current finance minister I guess is he the finance minister still, or is he now the foreign minister? I guess the foreign minister from Mexico said that there has to be some letter that goes from the White House to Congress, and that was supposed to go in January to get this NAFTA renegotiation going, and it still hasn't been set in Congress. What's that all about?
Well, basically, he's absolutely right. We've been slow played by Congress. It's a process called fast track in the vernacular, and what it allows us to do is to put a trade deal on the floor both chambers, and they can't amend it, and there can be no filibuster on it. So in order to do that, though, you have to check some boxes. The first box is what's called the pre-consultation phase. It should only take in a couple of weeks.
Right.
It's taken 100 days, and it won't expire, basically, until Bob Lighthizer gets
confirmed
as the USTR, which will probably be early May. So that's unacceptable. I mean, we've been slow played. So the president's been frustrated about that. He made it clear, though, to the world that's got to end. And he got strong commitments, not just from the leaders of Mexico and Canada to accelerate this process, but also from the leadership on Capitol Hill. So once that box is checked, there's a 90-day period in which actually, ironically, no negotiations can take place. But once that gets done, there's consultations during that. Once that gets done, Laura, then the negotiations begin in earnest. And they will move in Trump time. They will not move in Obama time. Trump time is fast time. We want a deal that's fair for the American people. You're absolutely right. We need to have trade with both Mexico and Canada, but it will be fair trade, not free trade.
So, has the White House sent this letter to Congress? Because I was under the impression that the White House was supposed to send this letter at the end of January and has not done so.
No. On day 12, of this administration, the president informed congressional leaders of his intent to negotiate NAFTA. And he called it correctly one of the worst trade deals we've ever signed. That started the fast track process. What should have ensued at that point was a period of 2 to 3 weeks in this pre-consultation phase. And we should have been able at that point to issue this notice that would have then set the next milestone of the 90 days. And that didn't happen because we got slow played by Congress.
Well, who's responsible for slow playing it? Is it McConnell? Is it Ryan? What's going on?
It's a fairly complex set of forces. I don't want to point any fingers here because we're moving in the right direction now. We've got commitments, but I think the world understands after this week that the president's not messing around here. We're either going to get a free and fair deal for the American people, or we're not. But
so we're not going to soften our stance. Yeah. So because you read some articles, where you guys are going to play it real light on the NAFTA revisions, that Mexico is going to get a lot out of this deal. That's not going to be the way we maybe thought it was during the campaign. But
That's a totally separate narrative. The question of what happens at the negotiating table. I mean, look, if you got Bob Lighthizer and Wilbur Ross down at that table, are you telling me that that's going to be a soft deal? I think not. I mean, just in these first 100 days, we've seen Wilbur Ross initiate investigations that may lead to tariffs on steel and aluminum. He has slapped tariffs on Canadian lumber, which has been an irritant for years. They've been just been sticking it to us. And one of the little known facts is that on a Korean dumping case, Wilbur Ross's secretary took a very innovative step using a new methodology to assess duties on dumpers, and it led to a tripling of the levy duties. Now, what's important is that it wasn't a single case. You can view that simply as a test case. What it did was it set forth a new standard so that there's going to be a lot more cases coming forward, where if the Koreans or the Chinese or the Vietnamese or the whoever tries to dump product or go in countervailing subsidization, they're going to get hammered. So, you know, this has been a great 100 days. I mean, we have signaled to the world that we're serious, and there's a lot of fine achievements, including Buy American.
First of all, the increase in U.S. manufacturing is music to my ears. I am all about Made in America. When people say you're a protectionist, I said, well, I don't actually think protecting America is a bad thing. I don't think protecting American workers is a bad thing. I think efficient marketplaces are great, but the marketplace isn't efficient today. And I think the trade group, without Bob Lighthizer in place, you, Ross, Stephen Vaughn, you guys have done a great job. And we keep hearing that Gary Cohn's kind of heavy footing you guys, but I don't see any evidence of that. I just think on the trade stuff, I mean, so far, so good.
We're doing great. I mean, the first working day in office, what did the president do? He got out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, drove a stake through the heart of a deal which would have decimated our auto industry and given up our sovereignty. It was nuts. We've got a very forceful strategy that we're moving forward on NAFTA. The Korean deal, the 2012 Korean deal, when Vice President Pence was in Asia, he made it clear that the strategic alliance with South Korea and the other allies in that region is so important and so strong. But he also said that we were going to revise and reform what is essentially one of the worst deals we've signed.
A Korean free trade deal. This is horrible. Deficits going up year after year.
But
Peter, let me ask you about that. I don't mean to talk over you, but we're up against the clock here. So
sure.
I love that because I don't think, you know, I've been talking about the Korean free trade deal for, you know, for 5 years, almost 5 years now. Every single year, the trade deficit goes up with Korea. And we know about the dumping that Korea has done, but they're also our really strong ally. They're a democracy. They're a growing, you know, economic force, in the Korean Peninsula, and they're a ballast against China. But now we're hearing Donald Trump, and I brought this up to him at the briefing the other day. We have President Trump sounding like President Xi's his best friend. I mean, this we'll play the soundbite, and then we'll let you react to this. But this is what we heard. This is what raises a lot of questions for people who think we're going to be tough on China. And I think we have the soundbite finally. Let's listen.
My problem is that I've established a very good personal relationship with President Xi. I really feel that he is doing everything in his power to help us with a big situation. So I wouldn't want to be causing difficulty right now for him. He's a friend of mine. he's actually I think he's doing, you know, an amazing job as a leader. And I wouldn't want to do anything that comes in the way of that.
They've ripped us off. They've subsidized their corporations. You were on our show how many times talking about this? Dumping steel. Now they're trying to get aluminum into the country through Mexico. And what goes on? It's very different from what Wilbur Ross says about China. It seems like there's a difference of opinion within the administration about how bad, you know, China has been. And then on top of that, Peter, the president said in the Wall Street Journal interview that I'm a nationalist and a globalist. So all those things put together give people like me a little bit of a pause here.
Well, let me undo the pause. I was at Mar-a-Lago when the team met with the Chinese team. There's a 100-day plan in place to address a wide range of grievances that the United States has in the trade arena. And I think what's going on now, which is productive diplomatically, is to basically give the other side a chance to address these issues, which are, as we've talked about many times, which are broad, deep, and severe. So we're in that 100-day window. Let's see what happens and assess the performance after that. But this is what diplomacy is. And summit was historic. It was very interesting to watch the dynamics of that summit. Wilbur Ross, the Chinese understand that he is going to basically act tough, just as the president is. They were sitting across the table. They understand our position, but we're in the 100-day period. Let's see what happens.
What about the market economy status issue? China, desperate for this market economy status by the WTO. They think they're automatically entitled to it, which would make them a lot stronger, even stronger than they are, in being able to defend against our concerns in our trading relationship. What are you all saying about that at this point?
Well, that's such an important issue, Laura, because there's no way that we would ever bend on that. China is not a market economy. No way. And if we were to grant them that, it would basically gut and gore our ability to impose countervailing duties and anti-dumping duties on a country which engages in those two practices at a level worse than any other country in the world. So that's non-negotiable, as I understand it. I don't see a Bob Lighthizer doing anything but vigorously defending at the WTO this case that China is going to bring to try to become a market economy, and we'll see how that one goes. But that one's an important one, and
yeah,
there's no bend in our backbone on that one.
All right, fantastic. Peter Navarro, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We really, really appreciate it. And finally, we have an administration standing up for American workers, enforcing the trade laws to our benefit. Everyone does it for their benefit. Time to do it for our benefit. Peter Navarro, thank you so much. Stay with us.
The Laura Ingraham Show.